Okay, our technician here says that we can start. And I'm going to start with something that we all probably know about, and that is the decline in traditional reference statistics. I'll start with a chart. This is from the Association of Research Libraries. The Association of Research Libraries is like 80 of the largest libraries in the country. Let me try that again. Okay. And they collect statistics on an annual basis. And you can see from 1996 to 2005, reference traditional in-house at the desk, in-house at the desk statistics. Pull it down. Okay. In-house at-the-desk statistics have declined by more than half, from 156,000 in 1996 to 66,000 in 2005. Okay.
This will take it down.
Okay. Like that. Okay. And also other... I don't know. Shall I try it without it or try the other microphone? We'll try this one. Okay.
Thank you.
It's not on.
Is it on?
Can you hear me now?
It's not on.
We'll keep this one just in case.
Okay. All righty. I'll try it with this one. And also, other traditional stats have declined. For example, circulation statistics have gone down in the same time period. And this has led to calls for the considering our situation as the deserted library. We're just an empty building full of dusty books that nobody uses. Well, for the, you know, the no-brainer, what happened in this 10-year period? It was the rise of the Internet. And in doing so, we established new types of patron contacts. And I've just listed the most obvious ones about the access to electronic journals, databases, OPACs, email, the live chat, instant messaging, and visits to library-generated web pages. These are not the vendor pages, the pages that libraries have created themselves to show their services. All the subject guides we used to do in print are now online, those types of things. Now, while this was happening, something else was happening. How many of you are familiar with NISO? So it's the number of computers, and we equate that to the number of people who come in. And because we're in the middle of a digitization project, it's the number of digital objects viewed. This is for special collections. They're digitizing manuscripts and such. A lot of work, a lot of effort. So they wanted that included. And because they had done so much and listing our web staff, we said, yeah, because we owe those people. They were doing such a good job. Now, here is the cautionary tale. Server statistics have gotten a bad rap. Years ago, a man in England published an article called Lies, Damn Lies, and Web Statistics, which has sort of reverberated over the years. And I equate it, remember the survey in the 1980s that showed that reference librarians only answered questions correctly 55% of the time, and that has sort of hung over us for 20 years. This man's article has hung over web statistics since he published them. He has since recanted some of what he said, and he said he's been misquoted and misinterpreted. So, but you have to realize that that mentality still exists. It's like an urban legend. It has never stopped. So they've gotten a bad rap. Also, they use that technical jargon, distinct host serve. Doesn't mean anything to an ordinary person. And when our task force got together, it took us 2 months for the webmaster to go through everything listed in the log file analysis and explain it to us so we could understand it. But we stuck to it, and we finally came to understand what they mean, and we could go on from there. And if you do this project, I suggest you have people with the same level of competence and knowledge. This is not a learning experience. You need people who are experienced webmasters, people who are willing to learn the technical jargon, the limitations, and learn it quickly in order to have an effective program. And they can be misleading, and they say caching, you know, the spiders that would go out from search engines, links on graphics. If you have a web page with 4 pictures of the universities, and you get those pictures off of another website, that skews your data. It's just, I won't go into the technical part. That's why we don't say hip. We see successful page views. And they should be analyzed over a period of time to show trends and stability. And in some cases, they are not to be used at all. For example, our interlibrary loan doesn't create as much traffic as other links on the library's homepage, but the only way to do interlibrary loan is electronically, so we must have that link on the library homepage. Also for course reserves. They don't generate that much traffic as getting into the databases, but that's the only way to get there. So statistics cannot be the be-all and end-all in making your decisions about what to put on your web page. And then I have a list of discussions here. This is from a couple of e-journals. And this is sort of the discussion of lies, damn lies. This was done by a gentleman in England later, sort of putting this debate to rest and in context. But if anybody ever shows up and throws that earlier article at you, there's a way to respond in an appropriate way, saying that's been misinterpreted, blown out of proportion over the years. And so I have a brief bibliography here of places to go, where I got the ARL statistics. The NISO website is very, very thorough, because remember, it has all sorts of other things. It has interlibrary loan transactions. I just pulled out 2 parts. This is what they do at Florida State, the e-metrics instructional system, the people at Florida State were associated with NISO. So if you need a place to get started, you could go there and look at the steps they suggest. And I've listed the 2 places to go to for reference transactions and virtual visits. And I have here, here's the RUSA guide. This is University of Rhode Island, which I think has done the best job. And they have both their web stats and their general information with the definitions. So if you need to go in and advocate for this, you can go in armed with some data and some knowledge and say, this is what we should be doing. These are the statistics I think will be useful. So they'll know that you know what you're talking about. You can come into some knowledge. And then lastly, I put up some examples here of institutions that do have their server staff available to the public. Again, I have University of Rhode Island. My favorite is the Tampa Bay Library Consortium. This is a group of all different types of libraries, public, academic, McGill Air Force Base. They're all in this consortium, and they have a server statistic for all of their various members. So I think it's a very nice website. The Eccles is an example of a specialized library's website, and then some of these others. And I went forward and I found Hong Kong Baptist University to put their statistics and say this is international. So that sort of completes my presentation. I hope that at least this will give you an idea of the potential for server statistics being part of your library statistical reporting. In the government reporting, I don't think it's required yet, but if you want to maintain a healthy web presence and be a good advocate within your institution, whether it's a public library, university library, and you have to fight for space on the institutional homepage, for example, the university homepage or a city or county homepage, you can say, look at the traffic, and you'll be able to defend it in an intelligent way. So that's my presentation. I'll take any questions. If you didn't get the handout, we have extra copies. And so if anyone has any questions, yes, sir?
Yeah, kind of a two-part one. I want to go back to where you talked about that there is log file analysis software out there available, and you tried some of them, but after all was said and done, you decided to go your own route. I'm kind of curious what the decision methodology was to go your own route instead of using a commercial one.
Okay, we finally got a full-time webmaster who was willing to do this. And he does it on a monthly cumulative basis, both inclusive, which is everybody, including the employee, and then employee excluded. And so we do that now. And now some of us understand it better. So we can go in and we can get on and not go, huh, we know which section, because it goes on for pages. If you print out log file analysis the whole semester, you're printing out 100 pages. But we knew which section to go to. It was called where it's called requests for pages. We knew to go there, and we could see which links within the library's homepage were getting the traffic. So that's the reason we did. We did web trends for a while. You know, they did a little charts and graphs and all of that. They were fun, but now we got somebody full time to be our webmaster. Still in the back of this lady here.
Can you really name software?
I can't name what he does. We used WebTrends for a while, and there's one called, I think it's Web Analyzer, and one for sites. And I won't recommend them to me jumping so long ago. But now I don't know how he collects them. But if you give me a business card, I'll try to check into that. Get back to you.
I'm curious to know what type of training program you're doing as a result of your AIP
method. Well, we've redesigned our web page, our library homepage. We tried to get rid of some of the jargon. Instead of databases, we now say articles, papers, reports, things like that. And we're going to be redesigning our subject pages as well. One thing I wanted to see happen that didn't is that there would be more of a voice for the people with the most active web pages. I mean, if you're bringing in the traffic, I think you should have a say in how the website is run. I don't know if that will ever happen for a variety of reasons, you know, politically, if that will happen. But if we have to justify our existence, we can go back and show that which departments are generating the traffic with the proviso that this is raw data. You know, I have a web page for international business that if you look at it, gets a lot of traffic on the home page. But if you go down to the table of contents that leads you to the actual link, it drops by 2/3. And so I think ignore this up here, go to this one, the smaller one. That's really a bigger picture of how my website is used. So you have to be very, very careful. And I recommend doing it over time so that one for example, an engineering project might just, you know, have a lot of page views in a semester, and the next semester it's gone. You know, the project is over, and those pages aren't used anymore. They've been taken down. Well, you don't redesign the web page over one semester. You know, you have to look at it at least over a year, like, including the summer, when the log file is smaller, you know, and it's more manageable.
People who don't have a webmaster, who are too young to know, I recommend using Google Analytics if you're okay with the terms of doing that. And basically, it allows you to add a little bit of code to your web page. It gives you some very useful information on how many, whether the users are navigating within the site, how many things you can actually look at, where they came from. There's lots of types of maps. It also tells you what Google search engine find it. And so the subset of our website
it also goes the other way. You could have a site that sort of varies but gets an enormous amount of traffic out of proportion to where it is, and maybe it needs to be moved up. And I have used Google to keep it permanently linked to some of my pages. That's very interesting.
Yeah, the analytics service is something I think you asked, just like Gmail used to, you asked me how to use it. It is for you. Has a fair number of features that are oriented for people who are trying to sell something off the website. It's easy to ignore it. It gives you a lot of flexibility.
Have you used it for managing your website?
We probably have people on your website. 100 out of
But it's really hard if you don't know what you're looking at and what those vague, meaningless terms really tell you. And that's where we had to get educated.
Yeah, that's what was nice about the analytics, is to know the answer to the question. Even for like a single page owner that has control over what shows their interest you can ask in particular, it can help people find it and whether or not people are actually using the link and how long they're staying. And basically, the kind of thing is that they have a practice of what they're doing.
Thank you. I found that I have a lot of subsections in my international business page, and if I add up the uses of the subsections, it's greater than the uses of the table of contents, which means people bookmark the certain sections that apply to them. So I do recommend that. And in our institution, we do have to fight for funding, and one staff why librarians need an office, you know, things like that. And we say, well, look at all we're doing. These web pages do not create, buy and load themselves. Somebody has to do it and look at the traffic. Any other questions here? Yes, sir.